Welcome to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently with Pastor Nate looking through the book of Romans. Feel free to open up your Bible and follow along with us.
I think for many of us, we think that one day we'll be used by God. Or one day I'll experience the purpose that God has for my life. One day I will step into my calling. You've heard that before, I'm sure. I'm going to step into my calling. I'm going to experience the call of God in my life. Let me tell you, you are walking in the call of God right now. You are in the call of God right now. What you do with that call is up to you. How you make the most of that call is up to you. But right now, currently, you are standing in the call of God. Why? Because he called you and he separated you. He's got a purpose for you. You just have to choose to see it. You just have to choose to walk in it. I think a lot of us view ministry or experiencing God's call as like some limited thing, like standing on a stage is ministry, or leading the worship team is ministry, or doing, no. Ministry is doing everything as unto the Lord. It's school, it's work, it's family, it's relationships. All of these things is ministry. It's how you choose to use those things allows you to experience the ministry that God has for you or not. You've been separated by God to a specific purpose. He set you apart. This word separated also carries a second idea. It means to exclude or disconnect, which that's not a word we really like. To be excluded. You ever been excluded, like left out of the group text? Like some of you like, yes, I love being left out of group text. But it, like when you're everybody's doing this thing and you didn't get the invite, you didn't get the text that says, hey, we're meeting here. Being excluded is not fun. That's the word that he uses here. I have been excluded. I have been separated to the gospel of God. I think part of the reason he uses this word separated is because he wants us to understand that when we receive the call of God and we step into the purpose of God, we've been excluded from some things. There are things that God wants to exclude you from, things that you were never meant to experience that you would have experienced unless if it wasn't for God. There is pain, there's frustration, there is hurt, there is difficulty that God wants to exclude you from. God wants to say, you know, you don't need to experience that. How? Well, it's when we respond to the call of God and go in the direction God wants us to, he excludes us from things that we would have experienced if we didn't step into that call. If we just lived our life our own way, if we would have just gone and done things our own direction, there's pain and frustration that you would experience. But because of the grace of God and because of the call of God, he wants to exclude you from those things. That's for other people, it's not for you. Not that God wants other people to experience that, but those that don't step into the call of God, they experience things that God never intended for anybody to experience. And so Paul says, I've been separated to the gospel. I've been excluded from some things so that I could experience this thing. And when you step into the call of God, when you experience that separation that he has called you into, there will be things that you will be excluded from. So he says he was called and separated. And then second point, he says to the gospel of God. He was called to something specific. He was called, and then there was a reason he was called. And he tells us that he was called and separated unto for the gospel of God. The word gospel is a popular word because it's an important word. We hear this all the time, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a church word, gospel, gospel. You'll hear it a lot. Really, the word gospel is really simple. It just means good news. So anytime you bring good news, you are sharing gospel. It's good news. And it carries another idea. It carries the idea to declare or to herald good news. It means that you've brought good news, you found out good news, and now you're sharing that with other people. Don't you like sharing good news with other people? It's like exciting, like something good happens to you, you want to tell somebody else about it. And the word gospel, that's kind of the idea. You've experienced good news, and now you want to share that good news with other people. And specifically, that good news is the message of Jesus. Paul would write to Timothy and say it just like this. I think this is a perfect, simple picture of the gospel. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, meaning it's been tested and it's been found true. It's worthy. Everybody should receive it. And he says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, this is the gospel, and everybody should hear about it, and everybody should place their faith in it. What is it? That Jesus Christ, God himself, came into the world to save sinners. That's the message of the cross. That's the message of Jesus Christ, that there are sinful, broken people. Paul recognized it. He says, of whom I am chief. I'm like captain sinner is basically what Paul is saying. He says, I've sinned, I've messed up, and yet Jesus left heaven, came to earth that I might be saved. That's the message of the gospel. When we say gospel, we're saying that Jesus left heaven, came to earth to save sinners. So if anybody asks you, like, what's gospel? What's that word? The message is that God himself, it came to earth, Jesus Christ came to earth to save sinners. That if you would just place faith in him, your sins could be forgiven, and you could have right standing with God. That's the gospel. It's simple. It's a message that is, it's worthy to be accepted. It's been tested and found true. And Paul says he's been separated to this gospel. And then Paul gives some specifics about the gospel. Number one, he says it's been promised and proven. That this gospel was promised and proven. Look again at verse 2. He says, in verse 1, to an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which God promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What he's saying is that the gospel wasn't some just when Jesus showed up, like, ah, we'll make it work. That in fact, God had plans to redeem humanity through Jesus Christ since the very beginning. We're told if you go all the way back to Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, when God creates heaven and earth, he creates people and that are in it, and then sin enters the world because the serpent comes, deceives Eve. There's this whole kind of ugly situation that happens. And then God speaks a promise over the serpent. He says, a day is going to come. And I'm going to send somebody, and you're going to strike his heel. He's speaking of Jesus. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. What's worse? I'm going to quote The Office. A foot injury or a head injury? What's worse? A head injury, right? A head injury is way worse. And the idea is that the cross is going to be that foot injury. That the devil's going to think he won by striking the foot of Jesus, Jesus dying on the cross. But what he didn't realize is that through death, Jesus defeated death. That through the cross, Jesus actually received power over death, over sin, and now Jesus stands forever as the resurrected king. And so he says, from the very beginning, a day is going to come that I'm going to send somebody, you're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Very beginning, God had the plan of the gospel to be the way in which people could have relationship. So he says, it's promised. And he said, it's proven. Moving on, verse 2, he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. In other words, Jesus came from the line of David, just as the Old Testament promised. And then he says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying, not only was the message of Jesus promised, but it was also proven. Proven how? Well, Jesus fulfilled all prophecy, and he rose from the dead. The cross of Jesus shows God's love. The resurrection from the dead shows the power of God. It shows it's true. The Bible says that there was over 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus resurrected from the dead. Over 500 people said, yeah, I saw Jesus 3 days after he died. I kind of think that makes it proven true, right? If you were in a court of law and they're like, do you have any eyewitness? You're like, yeah, I've got 500 eyewitnesses that saw this person commit the crime. After you got through a few of them and they all are saying the same thing, you'd be like, all right, case dismissed. The person is either guilty or innocent. The eyewitness validates the what happened. 500 eyewitnesses shows that Jesus, the gospel, is true. He says it's promised and proven, and then also that it's powerful. Jump down to verse 16 of this chapter. Paul is still writing on this idea of the gospel. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's an amazing verse for all of us to understand. Paul says, I'm not ashamed to be associated with Jesus. Whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in my family, wherever it is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? He says, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God. It's been promised and proven, but it's also the power of God. To who? Everyone who believes. That the message of Jesus Christ, the simple message that Jesus Christ came to the earth to save sinners, that if anybody places faith in it, that message has power to save them and to transform their life. That the message of Jesus, it's so simple, yet so profound, that if you place faith in it, it will save your soul and it will transform your life. That's what God promised. He said, this simple message, just believe in it. Just have faith in it. Well, I'm confused by it. Place faith in it. I don't understand all the ins and outs of it. Okay, it has power enough to override any of your doubts. That the power of God in the gospel has the ability to save your soul and transform your life. But this power is only accessed to those who believe. He says the message of Jesus, it's promised, it's been proven, it's powerful, but it's only powerful to those who place faith in it. And he says, for in the message, righteousness is obtained, justification is obtained to anybody who places faith in it. So Paul says he's been called and separated, he's been called to the gospel of God. And then third thing I want you to see is who they're called to be. And you're called to be saints. He says, I've been called and separated. God called me. God picked me. It wasn't me. It was God. And then I've been called for something, for the gospel, to promote the gospel of God, to be a part of the gospel of God. And then he says who they're called to be. Paul addresses the Romans as called to be saints. Look at it there, verse 6. He says, among whom you also called of Jesus Christ to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, saints is an interesting word because it's come to mean something different over time. When we think of like the idea of a saint, we picture like a giant cathedral named after some saint, right? Like St. Jude's Hospital. And this person, Jude, was like an amazing person, so amazing we named a hospital after him. Like, or we've got like St. Helens in our town, Catholic Church, and this is big, massive church. And it's named after this character, Helen, that was like a wonderful person, so we named a big church after her. Like, that's kind of our idea of saints. But that's not how the Bible uses the word saint. The word saint in the Bible is not exclusive for people that have just done like ridiculous thing, given like sold their house, gave all their money to the church so that they could build this church, so we're going to name it after you. That's not the idea of saint in the Bible. The Bible teaches anyone who has faith in Jesus is called to be a saint. Anybody that places faith in Jesus Christ is called to be a saint. Now notice in our text, in verse 7, it says that you are called to be saints. That kind of makes it sound like one day you will be a saint, doesn't it? You're called to be a saint. Like one day you'll be there. But notice also in your Bible, at least in my Bible, the words to be are italicized. You see that? In the Bible, they're italicized. And what that shows us is that the editor, the person that edited this Bible and put it together in modern English, added those two words. Because they thought that it would help the sentence structure if they said called to be saints. That's not what Paul wrote at all. What Paul wrote in the original Greek is he wrote to the people in Rome, beloved by God, called saints. What he's saying is right now you are a saint. It's not like one day you're going to be a saint. Like after you died, then we're going to look back at your life. We'll go through the records and we'll see how nice you were to people, how much money you donated to the church, how many times you attended church. And then we'll decide whether or not you'll get to be a saint or not. The idea here is that you are already a saint. That through faith in Jesus, you automatically have become a saint. You are right before God. You are justified. You are righteous before God right now because of your faith in Jesus. It's not one day you will be a saint, but right now you are a saint. That's the idea. Paul says to the Romans, beloved by God, which we could talk about that forever, how God loves you, he adores you, you are the object of his affection, you are the what preoccupies his mind and his time and his thinking. You are beloved by God and you are called a saint by God. You're justified, you're righteous before God. Paul is saying that you are already a saint. I think something that affects many people is that we think that our calling and God's purpose in our life happens someday when we're more something. One day I will be used by God once I shake this addiction. One day I'll be used by God once I stop stumbling in this area. One day I'll be used by God once I kick this habit, or once I can memorize more scripture, or when I have more time, or when I have more money. And one day I'll be used by God. Paul's saying right now you're a saint. Right now God has a purpose for your life. Right now God has a plan for your life. It's not about one day, it's about right now. We're a saint today. Listen, the character follows the calling. The calling has been set, and the character, the attributes, the attitudes, the actions follow who you're called to be. What you do is second to who you are. Also notice that Paul doesn't give details about the job of the saint. Paul doesn't say, okay, you're called to be saints, and this is what a saint looks like. They wake up at this time. They spend this much time on their knees praying. 48 minutes every single day. Praying to God early in the morning before the sun comes up. Then after they wake up, they do two laps. They run 2 miles, you know, because bodily exercise profits a little bit, but spiritual exercise is even more profitable. So prayer first, then do your... No. He doesn't give any description about the job of a saint. He just says you're a saint. If I were reading that, I'd be like, whoa, that's a pretty high calling. I don't even know what that means. Paul says, you guys are saints. He doesn't give any details about what that means. He says, this is who you are. Because listen, what they do will follow who they are. You are a saint. You are called by God. You are separated to God. That is who you are. And now when Paul places that calling on your life, he's saying, okay, now you should live as a saint. What does that look like? Well, it means following Jesus. It means doing what God wants you to do. And as you live in who you are, your life is going to be transformed. It makes me think of when Jesus calls the apostles. There's one, a couple of stories. Jesus, he called a few fishermen, guys that for a living they fished. And he goes up to them and he says, hey, follow me. That's all he says to them. And it says that they threw down their nets and they followed him. Just like that. That's the way the Gospels, that Jesus walks up to them, they're fishing. He goes, hey, follow me. And they're like, all right. They drop their nets and they follow me. And then he turns to them and he says this. He says, no longer will you be called fishermen, but you are now going to be called fishers of men. What Jesus was saying is no longer are you just going to go fishing for fish, you're actually going to go out and bring the message of God to humanity, was basically what he was saying to them. But in the Gospels, Jesus doesn't give any detail about what the heck that means. He just says, listen, you're now fishers of men. All right, let's go. Like, I'd be like, what is he talking about? What does that even mean? What is going? But Jesus simply placed a call on their life, and then their actions and their what they did followed who they were. Listen, when you've placed faith in Jesus Christ, you are right before God. You are called a son or daughter of God. You are part of his family. God has placed a call in your life. You are a saint. You are beloved. You are righteous. That is who you are. And then what you do will follow who you are. So many people try to become something before God, thinking that their actions will make them belong to God. Listen, you belong to God, and from a place of belonging to God, now we begin to live as God wants us to live. It's not to earn it. It's not like I need to do these so I can become. You are, therefore you will do. Because of who you are in Jesus, you can now live and do what God wants you to do. But there's two things you need to fully experience this. Number one is faith. Look at verse 8. He says, you're called to be saints. Grace to you, peace from our God. And then he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He says, guys, I need to let you know that people are talking about your faith. A rumor has gotten around that the people in Rome have crazy faith. That they've been doing stuff, they've been following God, they've been trusting in God, they've been stepping out into the things of God, and everybody's heard about it. Faith is necessary for us to experience the fullness of God's calling. Faith, where you're going, I don't know what is next, but I'm going to take a step into it anyways. I don't know how my actions as a Christian is going to be received and perceived by the people around me, but I am choosing to do what God wants me to do over what people want me to do. I'm going to take that step of faith. I don't know how me giving and being generous with my money and my time is going to allow me to get all the things done that I need to get done, but I'm trusting God that if I give Him my first, if I give Him my time, my attention, my resources, that He's going to provide for me in the things that I need. I don't know how it's going to work, but I'm going to choose to walk in faith. Faith is necessary for you to experience the fullness of what God has for you. And number two, not only do you need faith, you need a foundation. You need faith, you also need a foundation. Look, jump down to verse 11. Paul still, verse 8 through 15, we didn't read it, but he's basically giving an introduction and saying what's up to the Romans. But he says this, "For I long to see you, this is why, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established." Established. The idea of established is to have a strong foundation, to be firm where you're planted. Problem with many Christians is they don't have a good foundation. Their foundation is emotion. Their foundation is the relationships they have around them. Their foundation is the way they feel. Their foundation is whatever. And so what happens is when they feel bad, they think God's bad. Or when their friends are bad, they think that God's bad. And their foundation is wrong. And so they can't experience what God has for them. And Paul says, I want to come to you. Why? So that I may impart something to you that you might be established. So that no matter what goes on around you, no matter how people attack your calling, no matter how you fail, no matter how whatever goes on around you, because you have a firm foundation, you will continue to be who God's called you to be. In order for you to experience the fullness of your calling, you need faith in God, but you need a foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation is relationship with Him. That foundation comes from who we are in Christ. But without a firm foundation, we will fall for just about anything. Life gets difficult. Life gets frustrating. People are flaky, whatever it might be. Without a firm foundation, life gets hard. But with a firm foundation, we can walk through anything. And Paul says, I want to impart to you some sort of spiritual gifts so that you might be established. And then I love this, verse 12. He says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by mutual faith, both of you and of me. I would say a third thing, not only faith and foundation, but also as good friends. Right? That's what Paul says. Paul says, I want to be there, but I want to impart something to you, but also I recognize that you have something for me. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does a friend sharpen the countenance of one another. In other words, it says, you become like who you hang out with. It's basically the modern equivalent of that verse. You will act like the people that you're around. So, have good people around you. If you want to experience the fullness of God's calling, make sure you surround yourself with people that are elevating the way you behave and not bringing you down. It's so easy for us to settle in relationships, settle in who we hang out with. And all the time we're lowering our standards and we're becoming more like them when God has a way higher calling on your life. So make sure you're around the right people. I try with a lot of my friends to be the dumbest person in the room. Why? Because then I have something to learn. If I go into the room thinking that I'm the smartest person in the room, I'm going to stay that way. I'm going to stay wherever I'm at. If I go into the room and think, I think, and usually it's true, I'm the dumbest person in the room, I recognize I have room to improve. If you go into rooms, recognize that you have space to improve, you're going to grow. If you have the right people around you, recognize, I can learn from these people. If you look at them and like, please, dear God, don't let me become like them, you're probably not hanging around the right people. The people that you're around, if they can elevate you, if they can encourage you, if they can help you step into your calling, those are the types of people you want to have around. So listen, recap, you're called and separated. God called you, you didn't call God. You responded, He initiated, we responded. called and separated to the gospel of God. The gospel of God is the simple message that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That if anybody places faith in them, that he will transform, he will save their soul and transform their life. And we are called to be saints. Not one day, but today. And because of what we're called to be, we can experience what God has called us to do. But we need faith, we need a foundation, and we need the right friends.
Listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thanks for tuning in. We pray that this message has brought you closer in your relationship with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com. And if you'd like to keep up with all that's going on, follow us on Instagram at Middle Ground Radio. Be blessed, and we hope to see you next time here on Middle Ground Radio.